You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Another year. We're a little older. We're a little wiser.
A little is the key word there.
Very, very little. Good gracious.
It is good to be back, and I'm excited to get everything rolling again. We have technical things that we're working through, and so my camera's all over the place. Look, no hands. Anyways, we're getting it all locked in and loaded, which is fantastic. So thank you guys for checking us out. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to do info at knownlegacy.org is if you want to get a hold of us, and you can always check us out online at knownlegacy.org. You can pick up Bill's book at knownlegacy.org. We have a retreat coming up this weekend, which we're so excited about, the first annual Known Legacy retreat. We got about 15, 20 guys rolling in, which is going to be excellent. And I'm excited about this. So the question that we want to start off with today is, what is your old school bro movie, you know, that you just absolutely loved when you were growing up?
Man, that's a good question. I think for me that I would say probably Tommy Boy. And I think the reason why is because they didn't like each other in the beginning. And then out of the blue, like, they became friends. And I think that's probably my first. And the fact that I'm very reminiscent of Chris Farley right now in my current paradigm of how I exist. So I would say probably that. I'm not so much David Spade, but I definitely feel more like Chris Farley. So, and I get those bear claws lodged right here, right in this area. No, I do. I love that movie. I love that movie. It's probably my favorite ones, and I can watch it a million times over. What about you? What's yours?
I would say Tommy Boy for sure is in the top five because it's so quotable. Like, there's so many things that I quote from that movie. I think probably I have to go old school, and I somehow convinced my dad when I was like in fifth grade or fourth grade to rent the movie Caddyshack. And that for me set me on a very redemptive path, because everything in me needs to be redeemed after watching that movie entirely too many times. But it's Caddyshack.
Other than the fact that it's a Cinderella story, other than that, it's in the hole. So good.
Bill Murray in that movie is fantastic.
So good. Kyle, what about you? What's your movie of choice?
Well, is bro movie?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I mean, it's a little bit out there.
Yeah, it's good.
But they started hating each other. Steve Martin hated
them. Yeah.
And then they became. I know you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
They became. Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that came to mind was, those aren't pillows. That's the only thing that came to mind at that moment.
How about those bears?
How about those bears? You're going the wrong way. How do they know where we're going?
Well, we are so glad because, man, we have missed connecting with you guys. I've missed this for a long time, even though we're kind of dealing with some stuff today. It's been so good to get these guys back together and get started with 2025 and what God has in store for the Known Legacy podcast. We're so excited. We're seeing God do a lot of great things in Known Legacy. And man, in that, we've seen a lot of other people step out and do great things. And our guest today, actually, his name is Larry Smith, and he is the chairman of the board of Mobile Loaves and Fishes. Larry, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast this morning.
Hey, Bill, thanks to you, Travis. I got to follow that question with the Caddyshack is definitely there, but the Chris Farley skit on Saturday Night Live, I've used for part of my story, you know, being a motivational speaker, living in a van down by the river. So, you know, I think that'll come out. I think that'll come out today.
Is that Billy Shakespeare over there? Is that Billy? Oh, I love it. That's awesome. Larry, we already know we're going to have a good time today at this point. So, Larry, share a little bit about yourself. Share your story because, man, when we talked, I was blown away at what God had done in and through you. And, man, where you started, where you're at now, please share your story with those who are listening. So,
hey, Bill and Travis, quick update. I grew up in northern Minnesota, lived in Texas about the last almost 35 years, and I still haven't figured out to say how y'all. That just doesn't come across. It just doesn't come across very well. And so I grew up in northern Minnesota in Duluth, on Lake Superior, and up there, if you didn't play hockey, you were getting in trouble. So I'm one of five children from a World War II father in the Pacific. Got a hockey scholarship to go play at West Point, which guided me to the military service, which our family was very service oriented. And then once I completed that 5-year service, pivoted into a semiconductor industry for the last 35 years. But then the part of my story is pivoting to purpose over the last several years to help hire and house veterans, hire veterans into the semiconductor industry, which I have great relationships with. And then the connection to Mobile Loaves and Fishes to help our homeless brothers and sisters get off the street and into a wonderful community.
Wow. So, okay, you definitely blasted through a lot of that. So how did you get from working with a semiconductor company? I can't even say it. That's where I'm at. I have a PhD in nothing. And so I'm like, but I'm maybe in like eating well. I don't know. But anyways, but this idea of how did you get from working there to working with the homeless? What caused that? Caused that bridge?
Yeah, you know, so as part of my faith journey, I went with my family to plant a church in Austin several years ago, probably almost 17 years ago. And it was called the Well Bible Church. And we met on Sunday nights, and we rented an old Lutheran church that actually had out on the signs out the door, homeless, so really not welcome. And wow. So we were focused on how to care the poor, the oppressed, the widow, the orphan, and part of that journey was getting connected to Mobile Loaves and Fishes, and started to go on truck runs each month. And that's where, over the last 26 years, I've been connected to them for about 16. We have fed about 6.5 million meals to the Austin community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, so where was the pinch though that you were like, okay, I'm gonna leave this, and because I know that based on your story, you actually moved inside the actual community. Where did that come from? How did that work itself out?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, and I did this while I was still working, while I was leading a high tech company, so it wasn't a transition you know, into this ministry. It was a yes and. And so one of the things I really learned out of that truck ministry is, so I'm disciplined, you know, my education, my military background, running a company, I have an operational mind. And so sure enough, God paired me with an artistic graphic designer. We went on these monthly truck runs, and I was looking at the most efficient and effective way to feed as many people as possible. And my friend Bren was, you know, literally on the curb and knew the person's name, the drug of choice, their story, their hometown, and everything. And so I had to learn all this journey to pivot from transactional encounters with people to building relationships. And that's what we do. As we fed more and more people, we built these relationships. And so then the question begs, how do we get them off the street and into suitable housing for those that are chronically homeless? And that's the brainchild of Alan Graham, a founder and CEO. Okay. And we now have a community. It's called Community First. And we're housing about 400 people. And yes, I can elaborate on our calling to go live there for a season.
Let me put it this way. Someone who walks up, what are they missing when they simply just give someone, you know, a dollar compared to what you're doing right now? Like, so what's the difference between just seeing someone as who they are and the journey that you have with those who kind of are consistently in homelessness?
Yeah, and so Bill, you've stated one of the critical aspects of that is seeing them who they are. They're a human being, and when they were little kids, they didn't, you know, dream of living on the street or under a bridge or with nothing. In fact, as part of our journey and experiences, we believe the primary cause of homelessness, and there's a number of factors, a number of broken systems, but we believe it's the catastrophic loss of family. And so I've done hundreds of tours of this community to individuals and groups. And whenever I make that statement, I make a statement that says, you know, all of our families have addiction and mental health issues and those types of crisis, but we have this safety net that is going to prevent them from falling through this broken system of justice and health care and foster care and all of those things. So, and then what you will hear the narrative within our circles of our communities is, and actually they don't even call them homeless anymore. They call them unhoused. So if the problem statement is they're unhoused, we house them, but we believe, we believe that that's solution or to mitigate this problem is really, around community.
Mm. So are you finding that, that once they get in, like, what's the difference between the moment that they get into community? Have you seen some stories of change when someone jumps into that community and how different their life is affected beyond just having a house?
So I'll tell you some really critical demographics and then and some of the impact and then some of our philosophy. Average, we are dealing with chronically homeless. That is our population. And the chronically homeless are not likely to ever get off the street due to a mental or physical disability, okay? Mm-hmm. Our average age of our population, our neighbors, is 58 years old, and the average time on the street is 10 years. And so there is a level of trauma that is rather unique. A couple of neat aspects of our ministry is this is their home, and this is not transitional housing. And we are not trying to fix them. We are trying to help them be known, help them be loved. And one game changer in our community is we have a final resting place for them in a columbarium.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So you really have taken it beyond just meeting the temporal needs, but to adding value to their life from the moment you meet them until the end of their time here on earth. And I love that. I love that idea of what you're doing. I love you said be known, be loved. As I think about this, like, it makes me go, man, what was your pinch point to jump you from moving into the community? Like what, where did that tension arise? And can you share a little bit about that story?
Sure. And I'll try to do a condensed version for you. Can I say I was disobedient. And then finally, you know, I played hockey as a kid, you know, and maybe God checked me and knocked some sense into me out of part of that process. Or I'm a little hard headed part of it. So it was a calling. And as part of the process to discern those that were going to live there intentionally, we have a portion of our neighbors that, like my wife and I, we lived there for 5.5 years. And part of the organization is having not perfect people, but healthy people love God and love their neighbor. And so back 10 years ago, we were at a meeting, or I was at a meeting. My wife has a challenge, medical issue, and she wasn't at the meeting with Alan Graham and probably 20 or 30 people to discern whether we would move and live into this community. And so we had made the commitment to help another person who was called to it, and we'll be your prayer support, your financial support, you know, all those things. Just, I don't want to go to Nineveh and don't make me live with those people. Okay. But one woman, Bethany, that night said, you know, we should really live our life as if it doesn't make sense without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Bill, I was stopped in my tracks. My heart was pierced. My job, I was a president of a high-tech company, multi-billion dollars in revenue. My home was a 3,900 square foot home on 3 acres. I had 2 kids, the dog, you know, so if you go to Romans 12:2, was I conforming to the world, or was I letting God's word and Holy Spirit transform me? And as she pierced my heart, or the Lord pierced my heart through that conversation, my life, my history made more sense by the world's standards than by the Lord's standards. And so, but then when Alan comes around and says, Larry, it was a digital yes or no, are you in or are you out? And I said, hey, Alan, I'll give you my time, talents, and treasures. But I mean, humbly and regrettably, I said, but I'm not going out to live there. And he says, hey, no problem. You know, I need all of those resources. And next, you know, next around the circle. So then I went home and I was just pondering some of that conversation and conviction. I went to church the next day, and of course the Lord continued to whack my head with that hockey stick. And the pastor says, you can we need to care for the poor, the oppressed, the widow, and the orphan. And you don't need to go to Africa. You can go to the east side of Austin, which is the location of our community. And so I came home. My wife was not at that meeting. She was not at that church service. And I came home and I said, hey, when I think we're supposed to go move into that community. And she said, well, it's about time.
That's how those wives work, man. It seems like they always know more and quicker than us. Wow, that's amazing. And I love that you were honest with your disobedience, but then sharing about that, because there's a lot of people that struggle with that tension of wanting to do more, but are scared that those around them, maybe like their spouses, their kids, may be upending their own lives. So what kind of wisdom would you give to that person who's wrestling with what God wants to do in their life? And, you know, kind of some encouragement to them about the future.
Yeah. So, you know, the act of obedience bill was the next weekend we went and bought that RV.
Wow.
And it stayed in storage for 9 months before the property was ready for us to move on. And in that 9 month period, I made an arrangement for a pastor to come live in my home. And now he owns that home. And now that is his retirement plan as the market has changed. And so there's all these other kind of blessings. But I think the discernment process is really important, Bill. You know, so as we go through this, in fact, even today, I'm with a brother that's discerning a calling on his life. And we're praying and fasting today.
Wow.
I mean, there's some good practices that we have neglected that the Lord has guided us to. And how do we filter the noise of our lives and hone into what the Lord wants us to do? And it's not easy to do. You know, in fact, my friend, this may be the first time that he's fasted in a long time or ever, and he's anticipating an answer, but it may not come today. It may come, you know, over a long period of suffering, or it may come through difficulty that brings us to our knees, unfortunately, in those situations, versus faithful obedience over a long period of time.
And I love the challenge, because I think there's a lot of people that wrestle with that, you know, and just the idea of God has more, but then they immediately shut it down with, oh, well, I have this to take care of, and I've got this house, and I've got this. I mean, even in that wrestle, how did you work through that in your life? Do share like maybe just some of the steps of, hey, okay, so I you know, I bought that RV, but then was it an easy 9 months? Was there a lot of wrestling still going on, or?
No, I had peace then to that calling, and then we worked through the transit. We sold everything.
Wow.
I still have a small storage unit, and we were there 5.5 years. I will say there was a season, and COVID disrupted that, because I had a daughter in grad school, had another daughter who's a foster parent. So this is not a one-time event. This is a season. And that season, you know, transformed our lives and created a distinct privilege. And I've got so many stories, Bill, but I could carve out a few at the appropriate time of just what that obedience and living, the friendships I made in that community. Two of my formerly homeless neighbors that we lived together with actually attended my daughter's wedding here about a year ago. In my gated community, that we put up these protections and safety and all these things. When I finally told my boss it took me about a year to tell my boss that where I was living and what I was doing. And he goes, are you effing crazy? And you have a gun. And I realized at that moment, Bill, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. And so what part of our life are we pursuing those idols of comfort and power and control and approval, you know, that Tim Keller describes in his book Counterfeit Gods? What kind of that noise in our men, in our leaders, in our fathers, in our brothers, just negates our ability for us to hear a calling?
Just that pause, that stop to focus on, man, this is good. I feel like I'm so glad we're having you on today. You know, it made me ask one more question before we kind of wrap up. But I mean, what preconceived ideas do you think the follower of Jesus that sees a situation like this needs to get over, and kind of what maybe clean the lens, or what ways do they have to clean the lens or challenge yourself as they walk into these situations? Because the idea of looking at the homeless, like we talked about in the beginning, are there any things that you noticed that even in this ministry that people had to kind of get over to start to work with those who struggle with homelessness? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things that you have to get over. I mean, some of the conditions that our neighbors have experienced in 10 years on, I mean, there's just some behaviors and some things that you have to let go of, or yeah. establish healthy boundaries so that you can continue to serve. I found it, you know, number one, you have to figure out, well, what has God gifted you with, and how can you use those gifts to serve those? Mm. And sometimes we overcomplicate it. We want to solve homelessness versus driving a person to the methadone clinic. Mm. And in that act of kindness, you don't realize that instead of driving with me, he would get on the bus in February, like right now it's cold here, and that bus reminded him of being in a pit for 23 hours a day while he was in prison. And it took him 2.5 hours to get to an appointment versus 20 minutes of conversation with a brother that over seven years, you know, those types of acts of simple kindness can reveal your heart and reveal your faith.
Wow. It almost, so what I just realized was, I think you're saying you're not solving a problem. You're loving someone the way that Christ loves them, and yeah. you're not expecting them. You know, it's even the way just this idea there's no guarantee in this, you know? And so I'd be intrigued to know the percentage of those who never move beyond that. But I really do believe that, man, what you're doing is loving your neighbor as yourself. You're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And I love that. This is an amazing display. And so, man, I think this is a huge challenge for me and a challenge for those who listen. Before we get into the Fast Five, I wonder if there's any final thoughts that you have to share with with our listeners, if there's anything that you would say, hey, I want them to know this as we finish up today.
Bill, a lot of times we want to fix people, fix things. It's a tendency, at least I am guilty of. Mm. And so when we have volunteers that come out, the first thing they ask is, what can I do? And the challenge is, how can I be? How can I be light in the world? We're not there to fix them. We're there to allow a community and a culture and a setting that will allow them to heal. And some people never heal. I mean, if you think of Mother Teresa, she wanted to serve the least of these so that they could die with dignity. So those are some of the things. If we go in with expected performance and expected results, we'll be disappointed, I guarantee it. But if we faithfully serve, you will be blessed.
Mm. That's awesome. Faithfulness.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Man, this has been great. I'm so glad to have you on today. And I mean, even amidst all the chaos, I'm so grateful to hear this story. And I'm excited for our people to hear the story. And
Kyle, you've done a great job with the technology, man. Thank you very much for doing this. I didn't talk much today because of the microphone issue and everything else. But I appreciate your story. I love your nuggets of wisdom and that idea of living different. So that people would wonder, what is the gospel really making the impact? And there's a whole other conversation to have at some point in the future, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we want to get down there sometime and maybe do a podcast right there on the site and see more kind of as we look at it, because I'd love to bring more awareness to this ministry. You know, even one of our guys who we had on a while ago, John Mark, was down there. And so he actually kicked off last season. With his ministry of his tiny homes in Midland. And so it's really exciting to have you on.
He was my neighbor. He was my neighbor.
It's ridiculous. The world is so much smaller than we've ever believed it is. So crazy. Well, as we finish up, we have a segment called Fast Five. There it is. I have missed that sound with all that's in me. So a couple of questions for you. Who do you most admire and why?
You know, Bill, I admire people that are faithful servants over a long time. So when you talk about known legacy, I look at like Nelson Mandela and Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and those that haven't fallen in their journey, but they're known for long time faithful service.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Where would you like to go on a vacation?
Hey, I'm from northern Minnesota. We all have cabins, but cabins in Minnesota and cabins in Texas are two totally different, you know. So I wanna go to the lake, the land of 10,000 lakes. And then I've been fortunate, you know, over the last few years during COVID, we got a little log cabin about an hour outside of Austin, and that's my happy place.
That sounds awesome. Amazing. That sounds amazing. Maybe we need to do a podcast from the cabin. Yeah. That's what we need to do. So
I can do that. It's not far from here. I can do that.
I would take it. I would take it. What are you currently reading in the Bible and possibly another book?
Reading through, actually studying through Revelation right now. It's just a light read, you know. I mean, it's just this really simple process, and so I think I'm in chapter 13 right now, and that's been quite the journey, I will tell you. But I got exposed this last summer to John Mark Cromer with Practicing the Way. And so even that fasting and even the some of the practices and spiritual disciplines have just been a really good reminder for me to grow in my faith and just continue to connect with the Lord and the Holy Spirit.
I love John Mark Comer stuff, especially the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a great book, and I love reading that.
Lies is a great book too.
Yeah, so good. So yeah. Good stuff. Definitely light reading with Revelation. That's just bathroom reading, you know. All right. What's a goal you have for this year?
Well, this year is part of my calling or purpose, pivot to purpose. I want to get the Military Transition Center up and running across from Fort Cavazos. And that's going to be the ecosystem for us to train transitioning soldiers to go into cybersecurity, STEM education, semiconductor manufacturing maintenance. And there was one other one, but software design. So yeah. That's my goal this year. Get that thing up and running.
I wanted to lose 20 pounds. I don't know.
That's one I've never achieved, Bill.
It almost seems like this other one's a lot easier. Just no, that's awesome. That's amazing.
Copy paste from last year's goals.
Exactly. Good gracious. Okay. What's the most impactful piece of advice you ever got?
So I grew up in a very disciplined household. My father was a Marine in World War II, beach landings, and he had a way of doing things. And then when I was in high school, I was given the opportunity to go work for my brother-in-law, Gordy Johnson. And so when my dad would give me a task to do something, it had to be done his way. And so I wanted to please him. I wanted to meet expectations. I wanted the approval of my father. And so when I went in construction, which my brother-in-law renamed Murphy's Law, Larry's Law, because of my capabilities there. And he said, son, you better go get your education because you're never going to survive in this business. But he taught me initiative. And when I look at the combination of discipline and initiative, go out and just take an initiative, do something, learn from your failures, learn from your mistakes, come and ask me for help, but just do something.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. I love it. Larry, this has been a blessing. You have superseded all of our technological paralysis today, and super excited to have you on. We want to get you on again. But man, thank you so much for being on, guys. You can check out Larry's stuff. What's the website that we can get it to? It's like mobileloavesandfishes.com.
Yeah, so M for mobile, L for loaves, F as in fishes.org. Mobileloavesandfishes.org.
Yep. Okay. Guys, check that out. Larry, we'll put that link in the podcast notes. But please expect to get a call from us again because we want to get you back on to hear more about this story. So, man, you've been a blessing. Thank you so much. Travis, any last thoughts?
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Check us out, knownlegacy.org. Check out the book, morethanyoubook.com. Keep up with us. Check out our email list. Sign up at knownlegacy.org. We'd love to stay, keep you connected with what's been going on. And I hope you guys have an awesome week. And we'll see you soon with different technology.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.